All right, 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22. after you find your place, I encourage you to stand just for a moment. Your mother, we wish you happy Mother's Day. We thank you for choosing to be a mother. And if you're a child today, make sure you give some honor to your mother. Not because it's on the calendar, but because God said to. Amen. And because everything God said is right. Man copies things that God does and takes the credit for it. But thank God that God has always knows better than us. I don't really have a title today. I just know I'm in the chapter I'm supposed to be in. So we're going to call this today 2 Kings chapter 22. Amen. That's what we're going to call the message. 2 Kings chapter number 22. Amen. All right. Verse number 1. You'll notice that the Word of God does say this. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 11th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, Go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people, and let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work, that they have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work, which is in the house of the Lord, to repair the breaches of the house, unto the carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book. I read it with the priest said today, I found the book. Amen. I remember when I found the book. Back in verse 8 again. I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king, and brought the king word again, and said, Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house, and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work. They have brought the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah, the high priest, hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read the book, read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the priest, and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Achbor, the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan, the scribe, and Asahiah, a servant of the king, saying, Go ye inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto all the words of this book, to do according unto all that is written concerning us. So Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam, and Achbor, and Shaphan, and Asahiah went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shillam, the son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. And she said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Tell the man that sent you to me, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me, and have burnt incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place, and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, As touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord. And when thou heardest what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. That's why we don't mind having children in the service. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and with all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. Father, we thank you for the word of God today. Thank you that I found the book. Thank you that we have your book. Thank you that you allow us to have it present today. And thank you for being present in the service and being in the midst thereof already thus far. May you have complete liberty throughout the remainder of the service, as you've had already. May no heart, may no thought, may no personal agenda of any kind quench thy spirit today. May you in absolutely every way have complete preeminence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, thank you for standing. What a marvelous story. I love reading about different kings in the Bible. I love the Bible itself. Josiah, we see here, was 8 years old when he began to reign. That's pretty young in charge of a kingdom. But thank God he had some godly influence. He had someone to lead him. He had some godly prophets that stood by his side. And what I notice here, just looking very, as I read the passage, and just little small notes along the ways, and his mother's name was Jedidah. So her name means beloved. And in different times you read different kings, and his mother's name was. Mothers are of great significance. Hopefully you've taken some time to honor your mother today, and some of you have honored your mothers that are not living today by your testimony, the words that you've spoken, and it's good to do that. My pastor used to always say, honor your mothers whether they be living or whether they be dead. And we see that here, God brings it of great significance because he thought it is of great significance that a king is honorable and godly as Josiah was, that her name might be mentioned. And even other kings, he thought there was worry that the mother's name would be mentioned, so it's important. Because, like I said, if your mother today, you made a choice that billions of people rejected. Sadly, as I said, billions of people chose murder over motherhood. So thank God for you honoring God's plan. Verse number 2, we see that a great testimony. He said, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. If you make that your life motivation, you'll always have a great relationship with God. You'll have a vibrant Christianity. You have a light that shines forth the Lord Jesus Christ. If your goal is that you will do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Well, where does God see you? Say it like you mean it. Everywhere. So everywhere you go, everything you do, if your goal and your objective is to have a Christianity that's right in the sight of the Lord, you'll never be a hypocrite. You'll never have lip service. You never do work. You'll never be an eye pleaser, as the Bible talks about. You'll always do that. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine that resigned his church, and he overheard some of the people talking, and he's going into a different ministry, and he overheard someone saying that when the new pastor was coming to candidate, they were telling the men, now make sure you wear your suits on Sunday, and because we want to make sure we have a good impression upon the possible new pastor. And it just broke his heart. And these men don't wear suits, and not, I'm not saying for or against. I wear one by personal conviction. I guess, is conviction the right word? They say that conviction is something you die for. I won't die for a suit. But, Paul said he magnified his office. So, and you read the Old Testament, it was important to God what the priest wore. You know, I'm not a high priest, but I'm a New Testament priest. So that's why I'm making a difference. But that's where I get my principles from. But anyway, but it broke his heart that they were looking to look different for a different preacher in order to convince them to come. And because they said, well, if he didn't like us, he won't come pastor our church, you know. And if they were men that were committed to do that was right in the sight of the Lord, there has to be no special attention. There has to be no special preparation because it's always the same. One of the blessings that the Lord did for me several years ago when I went out to preach a meeting and before a group of preachers, and I noticed how much I was trying to prepare and how concerned I was about the message and making sure everything was right and making sure everything, I didn't want to say anything was wrong. I was concerned about the content. I was concerned that I wasn't going to preach anything unquestionable. I wanted to make sure everything was true and accurate according to God. And the Spirit of God said, shouldn't you do that all the time? Because don't you, who is it that you preach for? I preach for the Lord. And it was a great lesson that I learned. And God showed me at that time to make sure that I was living to do that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And so the Bible said, and he walked in all the way. You know, I'm amazed as you read the passage and if you listen by the Holy Spirit, so many times that God expects us to do all. But he walked in all the way of David, his father. And he turned, notice his consistency and his faithfulness and his narrow-mindedness. He turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. He said, I'm following the way that the man after God's own heart set before me. And I'm not turning aside to the right. I'm not turning aside to the left. Because I see, because number one, since his goal was, since he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, he stayed on course to what God would have him to do. Verse 3, it said, and it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah, that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe to the house of the Lord. And we read this, and he eventually goes in, he goes to the house of the Lord, and he's given instruction to go get a tally of the money. And we see that in verse 5, this is the king that making sure the house of God is in proper order. Because in verse 5 it says that they were to repair the breaches of the house. He was concerned about the condition of the house, and he was concerned that there was things that were broken and were repaired. And albeit by God's divine appointment, they found the book while they were in the house. And Hilkiah, he read the book. Actually, no, I think the Bible says he gave it to the scribe. And then the scribe and Shaphan read it. It's like, this is a book. It came from the house of the Lord. I think I ought to read this. You know, and he read it. And Shaphan, he went to the king. I thought about this. Here's a scribe. And he thought the person of the highest authority should have what he just read. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king, I'm looking at verse 9, and brought the king word again, and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house, and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. You know, what I like about this, when you really read this story, he delivered me a book. And he read it before the king. He didn't say, this is the words of the living God. And it was. He didn't say, this was penned down. He didn't build it up. He just said, he brought me a book. But just as he began to read the book, the Bible says that Josiah rent his clothes after hearing of the word of God. I think it's one of the reasons the Bible says that we give attendance to reading. That's one of the reasons we have the scriptures read here. And so they're just believing in the power and the authority of the book itself, that just having it read, man, it moves your heart. And that's what happened. We see that, what happened to Josiah here. Looking at verse 11. It came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. There's a church in St. Thomas where Pastor Al Stone is the pastor. Their goal is to get the John and Romans into every house in Canada, in every home, every province, and they've hundreds of thousands and copies have gone out already, and probably in the millions by now. I'm not sure exactly what number it is for the homes. But some, they just believe that somehow, if the book is in their house and somebody reads the book, something will happen. Amen. Hey, that's what happened to me. I can be down, I can be discouraged, I can be looking for direction, but if I just get my mind to the book, everything goes well. Amen. And you read it, and sometimes I cry, sometimes I rejoice, sometimes I want to rend my clothes and say, what's happened to me? But all put my eyes back on the Lord and thank God for the book. In verse 12 it says, and the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam the son of Shaphan and Achbor the son of Micaiah and Shaphan the scribe and Asahiah a servant of the king, saying. Now I like this here. This is how serious Josiah was. Anybody that had absolutely anything to do with God, he said, go talk to God and find out what we need to do. He said, he just made a list here. Anybody that, he took the scribe, Hilkiah, anybody who was related to a priest, anybody regular, hey, you go inquire of the Lord because this is serious, you know. May God help us that we read the book and we see what's in here and say, man, this is serious. We better find out. We better get a church where this book is at. We better be in the place. We better read the book. We better talk to anybody we can that we feel like has a closer connection to God than we do and find out what's for me, you know. One of the things that God, and I thank God, you heard me say before, the church I got saved in, that when God put it in my heart, when I began to hear the book and read the book, I looked around for people that I felt like were more spiritual than me, and I said, can you help me? I said, show me something, teach me something, help me something. And the most dangerous times of my life have been when I thought there was nobody more spiritual than me. And after a period of time, I always found out I was in trouble. I always found out there was somebody that could help me, and God would do the strangest things, you know. Teach you through the little children, amen. And you put you on your face and realize, whoa, but thank God for that. But we see here in verse 3, go and cry to the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah. Notice, say, when you have motivation from the book, you can't help but be concerned about others. That's why we need to be in the book. He said, we're all in trouble. And he says here, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. You say, man, this is heavy. So would you please go talk to the Lord? Our fathers have led us the wrong direction. And we read it in the book. And we want to write whatever. We want to get right with God. And we see here in Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam, and Achbor, and Shaphan. I think I pronounce these names different every time. But and Asahiah went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shulam, the son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. And then she begins to tell them what thus saith the Lord. She explains the judgment of God. He says that, you tell the man that sent you to me. You know, I like the way she initially said that. He was the king, but that title meant nothing before the presence of Almighty God. So he said, just go tell the man that sent you to me. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. Because they have forsaken me. That's what all began, just a simple turn. Remember, you know why? You know, why his heart was touched? Because he didn't. Forsake means to turn away from. So he didn't turn to the right hand or to the left. He went forward. And that's why he was moved when he read the words of the book. And it says here, and have burnt incense. They actually offered up sacrifices unto God, like the heathen did. That they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. And that their hands were dedicated to the works of the pagan gods, instead of their hands being dedicated to the work of the Lord. He said, therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. Why? Because they basically, the promises, Deuteronomy, book of Deuteronomy, he set out the blessings and he set out the cursings, and they chose the cursings, and they didn't have to. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, the words which have, you just heard them. Just heard the words. Have you read your Bible this week? Have you read the Word of God? Have you heard the words of the Lord? When I was witnessing to a young man yesterday, I tell him, I said, one thing you'll understand, I said, God is so powerful, and that what I'm talking about is not about religion. It's about the words of God. And I said, I'm not trying to get you into a church. I'm not trying, but I say, if you come to Christ, you'll want to go to church. If you truly become born again, you'll want to be where God's at. I said, but the Word of God is alive and is empowered by the Holy Ghost of God. And I said, when it is read and when it is written, when it's preached, it adds a burn to your heart that people know. People get mad, glad, sad because of the power of the Word of God. And he was kind of fidgety, ready to go. And so I started, because I believed what I was saying to him. And I just started quoting Scripture. And I just began to, every Scripture I could think of regarding his condition, regarding the grace of God, regarding the judgment of God, regarding the mercy of God. And all of a sudden, he stopped fidgeting. His countenance changed. He was no longer in a hurry because of the power of the Word of God. And this book is alive. Amen. Hey, he didn't just say that because it makes a good preaching. It's truth. Amen. He said it's quick and it's powerful. Amen. And sharper than two-edged sword. Amen. We love this. We read this. We meditate on it because it works. Amen. In every situation. That's why it's so different than religion. And I began to see this kind of change in the Spirit of God move on him. But Josiah, because he was headed the right direction, just hearing the words of God, his heart was tender. Nobody had to cram it down his throat. Nobody had to threaten him. Nobody had to try to make him. But just hearing it, he said, oh my. The problem with Christianity today, we read the Word of God and we say, oh, everybody else. Instead of saying, oh my, oh me. But man, because when we say, oh me, then we can actually help somebody else. Sometimes I'm scared to preach because I see so much of what God's speaking against me. And I'm trying my best to be everything God wants me to be. But thank God that in the times that I yield to the Holy Spirit of God, He humbles me. And it says, but because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse. And he thought, is there any mercy left? Is there any hope? I spent time with Warren yesterday and I said, Lord, is there any mercy left for him? Is there any hope for him? Praying and just trying to reach him, to witness to him, just preaching Christ, just preaching Christ, just preaching Christ. I said, they should become a desolation, a curse, and has rent thy clothes and wept before me. Man, this is serious. It's not just whether or not we have a good attendance on Sunday. He's not talking about if there's enough people to give or tithe to make money for missions so the church can do the next endeavor. He said, no, these people are under the judgment of God because they're away from God. And they're walking death sentence. And that so moved him that they would be against the God that he so wonderfully knew, because he walked with him. He walked in the ways of David his father. And just the very thought of someone being against God caused him to rent his clothes and to weep before God. And said, God, is there any hope? And we need to read the Bible more, so we go out and see all these nice people that have money and things and that they don't know God at all. There should be some times we ought to cry, because we ought to look at them and realize that they're a walking death sentence. And worse than that, they don't know the God of the Bible. That God created them to know them and to fellowship with them. And walk with him. You know, we need to ask God to give us a tender heart. When we really understand, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And when the Bible says that he that hath not the Son hath not life. And we see, I know people that are nice and they're more. I'm thinking of people right now that are in danger of hellfire, and we need to have a tender heart where we, even if we rent our clothes and we get in the closet and the crowds of God, say, oh God, does it have to be? I don't know. The Bible didn't tell us what he prayed. I mean, and I think that's probably good it didn't. But I think there was something about him. He just uncontrollably wept because knowing their separation between them and God. For some reason, I don't know why it affected me this morning. I was just sitting in the room over there just weeping. I was thinking about my mother this morning. Somehow, I don't know, there's a separation between her and me. He caused me just to weep today. And I think I had a good mother. Thank God that we died in a good relationship. But just being apart, that separation caused me to have some tears. And here's Josiah, even better than that, greater than that, the people that God loved so much that he gave his only begotten son. They're distant from him. They're cursed because they're serving the false gods of the land. Their time, their energy, their hands is dedicated to false gods. And the Bible says they rent his clothes and he wept before God. And God gives him a blessing because of that. And he says in verse 20, and he says, I don't know what it was, last part of verse 19, I don't know what he prayed, but God heard him. He said, I have also heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace. And thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. Let me ask you a question. We've read through that passage. What did the prophet tell Josiah to do? It's a very simple answer. Find in verses 15 through 20. Well, you won't find it in verses 15 through 20. But you'll find the answer in verses 15 through 20. So what did the prophet just tell Josiah to do? Is that rhetorical? Go ahead. Mark?
Well, so you don't come to do anything because you have done this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You're ready to close the outside of
that. Amen. She didn't tell him to do anything, but I want you to notice his reaction to the news of verse 23. And the king sent and gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar, and made a covenant before the Lord, to walk after the Lord, and to keep his commandments, and his testimonies, and his statutes with all their heart, and with all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book, and all the people stood to the covenant. She didn't have to tell him anything because he had the book. He already knew what to do because he had the book. Thus saith the Lord, came, she explained the judgment of those that were against the book, but because he read the book, he didn't need any further instruction. His heart was tender, he'd wept before God, and he had been promised that he'd have peace in his lifetime. He could say, hey, good for me, I'm going on. But because his heart was tender, and because his heart was toward God, he still wanted to honor the Lord. And so he simply did what the book said. Didn't have to be challenged. Didn't have to be instructed. In fact, because he was on his face and crying out to God, God sent him, the prophet, is really to comfort him. And he's looking for answers. Is there any hope? You know, in our sales, it's all simple. read the book, believe the book, obey the book. If you find yourself against the book, and you find people you know against the book, you ought to cry out to God, and you might see some peace in your days. And it just might happen that when the next generation comes, when they read the book, they will say that our fathers hearkened and did that which was in the book, instead of having to correct things that their fathers did not do. Because see, they were in trouble because of what the former generations had did and not following the book. And their life, they could see their life was a pattern of what their fathers had done. But Josiah said, you know what? This is what the book says. This is what we're going to do. And the generation after them, they wouldn't have to say that. They can make a choice to go against God, but it wouldn't be because of their fathers not hearkening. Because in verse 13, it said, their fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according unto all that is written concerning us. The children said, we're messed up, we're under condemnation, because our fathers have not hearkened to the words and done according to all that is written. So children, it's okay to read the book. If your fathers live a life contrary to the book, get on your face before God and be the difference. And let God move in your heart and let Him change you. Amen. But get in the book. Love the book. Be moved by the book. And, you know, and I thank God that it's all so simple here. Think about this. You know, I'm glad that our church uses what I won't say what I believe. I'll say what I know to be the Word of God. But you know what's better than knowing that we have the Word of God in our church? Is using it, practicing it, like it actually is the Word of God. That's better. And he simply walked in, describes it. Hey, this prophet gave me this book. And he read it to the king. And because of the authority and power of the book itself, the person that knew God, the person that walked with God, heart was broken. And he said, man, what can we do? If you're a child of God today, when you read the book, if you have any tender heart at all, you can't help but look around Christianity and have your heart be broken because of what you've seen, what we're walking in now, because the generation that we've established, that it's okay to be religious, it's okay to have relationship, it's okay not to be consecrated unto God, it's okay not to live and follow God with, notice what he began with all our heart and all our soul. You know what it says there? All their heart and their soul. And there ought to be some, if you get in the book in the closet, you ought to have some time where you ought to just tear your clothes and rent and say, oh Father, is there any hope for us? That's why many don't, unfortunately. That's why there's so many places don't have any peace or rest, because God can't send any, because there are no tears, there's no tender hearts, and it's because there's no reading of the book. There's reading everything else, everything under the sun. But when the lives change and God is glorified and God is magnified, if you'll just take time to read the book. Anybody know that to be true? Is there a witness in the house? Let's all do it, amen. And let God move us to be the people He'd have us to be. And we'll be amazed what can happen. I found the book. I love the book. I like reading the book. It's a challenge to read the book. Say, make sure of that. You read everything else easily, but try to pick the book up and see how it's hard to focus. All of a sudden you're wide awake, all of a sudden you get tired. What happened? The challenge. Stand up. Walk around. Get somewhere quiet. Do whatever you need to do, but read the book. And if you are doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord, and if you're not walking to the right hand or the left, the book will mean something when you read it. But you know, if I'm not doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord, I can tell you right now, I don't want the book. In fact, I don't want to see the book. I sure don't want to read the book. And if I do hear somebody read it, my heart's sure not going to be broken over it. Unless they finally get my sin. In fact, I'm going to do the best I can to tune out the book. But God in His mercy pursues us. Granting my salvation is by surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Even when you turn away from God, He follows you. Follows you. Goodness and mercy follows you. Hey, time away from God, thank God He didn't leave me out to dry. He said, come back. Holy Spirit said, where are you going? Just like Elijah, what doest thou here, Elijah? Man, you're a servant of me. Why are you running? Didn't you just see what I did through you? Why are you running? One threat and you're running? If you're a child of God and your heart and soul's not in the book and dedicated to the book, God says, why are you running? If you're a child of God and you don't really can't think about how much you read the book, and the last time you read the book, reading many more things more than the book, and you got time, God says, why? Why do you put your hands and your eyes and your heart toward everything else except for the book? Are not, as David said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is there a reason to be concerned for people around us today? Is there witness? Anybody? And if it's not true, don't say nothing if it's not true. I mean, we can be honest around here. It's okay to be honest in church, amen. If there's not reason for concern, then hey, let's just go play pinochle or something, man. Let's just meet and let's put up a table tennis and let's just play ping pong for a few hours. Hey, we probably draw a bigger crowd. Hey, we say free ping pong, hot dogs, and sandwiches, man. We have to open up the side and wouldn't know what to do, man. But we say we just, but if we just say we, in here, there's the book. Someone would think, oh, really? Is that all? Is that all? Everything we do, just like Brother Mark reading the scriptures, to me that's a privilege just to read the book. Because he's not reading the newspaper. He's not reading the Wall Street Journal. And it helped him as he goes to ministry to believe in the power of just reading the book. Amen. I'm amazed. Sometimes when I'm witnessing somebody that's tender hearted, you start reading that, they say, stop. What's that? Well, stop. What does that mean? I've been witnessing somebody reading, say, when I'm studying the Bible, somebody's tender hearted, you just see them like, whoa. And I didn't tell him this. I didn't go down and prove to him how the King James Bible is the Word of God. It's just the book itself, amen. And I'm not against that. I'm not against knowing that. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It's all true, and it's good to know those things. But you better go forth believing in the power of the book, and you'll never believe that if you're not in it for yourself. And if you don't have any times that your heart's not been wrenched for the people around you. And for this generation, I encourage you to, number one, ask yourself this question. Is your priority in your life to do that which is right in the sight of the Lord? And then number two, as you are walking with God, are you by any chance turned to the right? Or are you by any chance turned to the left? That meaning, are there any Christian practices that you know of that you're not following like you used to follow? And if there are there any Christian practices you've heard preached that you know are biblically true or right that you're not walking in all of them? That is why Josiah's heart was tender. Thank God for the book. Thank God for the book. Father, we thank you today. I just hope and pray that this will be a church full of tender-hearted people that will be in the book much. Lord, I'm thankful just for how... Lord, I'm thankful to know that everything about your book is true. Just the power. Lord, just reading it this morning, fresh again, how it moved my heart. Lord, there's so many passages. Lord, give me a tender heart like Josiah. Help me not to be calloused or cold toward people around me. But, oh God, help me to inquire as I look around. And based on what you said in your word, Father, as I know the book, that means right now there are hopeless and helpless people all around me. And Father, I cry out to you, please let my light to be a light that shines so that those in darkness could by your grace be freed. Lord, I inquire of you, I ask of you, what can be done through me that those that are under your condemnation right now, the condemnation, the death sentence that they personally chose for their own life, what can be done through me that they might be spared in this generation? Father, I ask you to please have mercy. And Father, I'm so thankful again that your book is so powerful that even Josiah, not really even knowing what it was, just knowing it was a book that was in your house, that just one can hear it, it can change their life. I think of the blind man who couldn't even see Jesus, but Jesus restored his sight just based on the power of his word. Oh, Father, forgive me of so many times having such a shallow Christianity with all the power and all the glory and all the things you give me to live right. The only explanation is just the same explanation of the fathers we read about. Times are forsaken you or turn to the right hand or to the left. Oh God, lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies and give me the faith to keep my eyes totally upon thee. Bless our church today. Bless every hearer that's heard the book. Give them a tender heart toward thee.